This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
With the sixth pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the New York Giants select Malik Nabers, wide receiver, LSU.
This is, to me, a terrible decision. I am hard-pressed to understand how this is the best decision for the New York Giants.
Yeah, Malik was our guy. He's the guy we targeted.
I'm going to focus on my craft, focus on being the best person I can be, best player I can be, best teammate, continue to have a great work ethic, hit the ground running with the Giants organization.
Thanks. It's DiPietro and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, big 7 o'clock hour. We're going to go a little frenzy at 7:45. That'll be nice. But I want to get into the 76ers and the Knicks from last night in just a moment. I heard that soundbite from Mike Tenenbaum. What I don't understand about that is he might be right, that McCarthy might be a star, and then if you're the Giants, you reflect back and say, God, I can't believe we let him get by. But clearly the Giants didn't think that. So for him to say he doesn't understand how the Giants could make this decision, I think it's kind of a puzzling thing to say.
Well, I think he's going off his opinion of J.J. McCarthy.
Right. So he loves McCarthy. But they clearly don't love McCarthy.
Right. I mean, you heard we played Joe Shane before the break. Malik Nabers was their guy. If they couldn't get Drake May, it was going to be Malik Nabers. So mission accomplished.
Right. They did what they wanted to do. So I'm kind of puzzled. Like, he's like, I don't know what could go through their mind. Whether you agree with it or not is one thing. What went through their mind is, we don't love J.J. McCarthy.
Right. And also, here's the thing, though, too. Right? I mean, and you've said this the entire time, is that you trust Joe Shane and Brian Daboll.
I do.
And you also got to lean on the fact that, you know, Brian Daboll has had experience with some really good quarterbacks. Quarterbacks in, you know, at Alabama, what he did with Josh Allen. So if he doesn't think that J.J. McCarthy can get to that level, as good a coach as he is, he doesn't think he can get J.J. McCarthy to that level, then you can't just take a quarterback.
Of course
not. Take a quarterback. That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. And that's obviously what they believed, whether you believe it or not. So that's just my take on things. All right. I want to just read you a couple emails I've received. And I imagine they're from Sixers fans, but listen to this. Can't wait to hear you start crying about the Knicks. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. There's a word for you. You're a hypocrite. That's one. The only punk I see is you. Stop your whining and complaining. You're nothing more than a cryberry. Knicks are losers.
Well, Knicks are up still in the series.
It's nice to see we have a nice listenership in Philadelphia. That's nice.
There goes Jackie Sanchez. There goes Dave again. When the Knicks are winning, we all have to sit here and you cram it down our throats. As soon as they lose, now you're a crybaby. Wah, 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 little baby, get over it. They should be down 2 games. They got lucky in game 2, and it was an embarrassment what happened at the end. And the NBA, even so. I don't know what that means. You are a loser. Okay. The Knicks were not dirty. The Knicks did nothing dirty. If the referees screwed up the end of game 2, then so be it. The Knicks were not pulling at the legs of players when they were down on the floor, not backing into guys, not kneeing guys in the gut. Here, what I saw
in
last
the
night.
Junk.
Philly's terrific, right? Embiid as a player is terrific. All right, they shot a campaign. He might not ever have another game like that in his entire life. They shot, 55% from the floor? So what Philly did on the floor was magnificent. What Philly did as far as being a clean team was disgraceful. That was dirty. And anybody else who's not a superstar in this league is out of that game. That's a flagrant 2, and you're out of that game for doing that to Mitchell Robinson.
Well, listen, here's the difference, though, right, for all those Sixers fans that listen, and we appreciate you listening, is our coach didn't sit on the podium and make excuses, right? It wasn't the ref stole this game from us. That's why we lost. It's referees weren't good. I'm going to draw attention to it because when Nick Nurse did, it seems like it worked. We have to play better. We have to do things better. We can't allow Philly in the third quarter to have that kind of offensive outburst that ends up costing you the game. When they were lights out, 9 of 12 from 3.
I can't even believe it. I mean, three after three after three, and they hit seemingly every one.
Dude, they were 17 of 22 in that quarter. 9 of 12 from 3, they scored 43 points. Joel Embiid in the third quarter scored 18 points. He was 4 for 4 from 3. Like, that's why we lost. Joel Embiid went for 50. Tyrese Maxey, 25. All of a sudden now Campaign shows up and hits big threes. That's why we lost.
Right.
But well, you can't argue the fact that Joel Embiid is a dirty player.
Right. I'm not making the excuse that the Knicks lost because of these things. Right? Like because of the dirty nature
of
Philadelphia.
Well, no. If you wanted to, you could.
Because well, the, he Joel Embiid doesn't out of the game.
Right. He doesn't score 50. He gets thrown out of the game.
Of course. And the Knicks win this game. No. I'm saying there's two separate things. A, they're dirty, and he's dirty, and I got to be, and he's a flopper too. And secondarily, outside of that, Philly was great and deserved to win that game. There's no whining about that. If that's what you hear, then that's on you. Then you're foolish with this. All right, the Knicks did nothing dirty in game two because they played a physical brand of basketball. That's not dirty. Nobody should have been thrown out because the Knicks should be punished because the referee screwed up. Sorry. And Nick Nurse, I don't know. I didn't have a good angle. I didn't see anything. Give me a break. You know what? I don't like Philly to begin with because they're Philly. I now detest this version of the 76ers.
Yeah, I can't stand this team. Nick Nurse bothers me. Joel Embiid bothers me. Kyle Lowry bothers me. And listen, and I get it. Like, I mean, if you're going to get away with it, why wouldn't you do it?
No, I don't agree with that.
No, dude, if there's no repercussions, if you're not going to be held to the standard that everyone else is, then why wouldn't you do it? I'm not saying hurt people, but if you want to be a little extra physical.
Well, being extra physical is fine, but you're on the ground and a guy's going up for a shot and you're grabbing at his feet is a dirty act.
Right, that's a dirty play. I mean, the play where Mitch actually gets hurt. I mean, he's kind of out of control, a little reckless. He knees Hartenstein in the junk, smashes OG, blindsides OG. My bigger problem is that I knew last night the whistle was going to favor the Sixers. I knew it. Everyone expected it. It's exactly what happened. Joel Embiid has 21 free throw attempts. The entire Knicks team has 19, and yet the Knicks scored 54 points in the paint. I get it. I understand it. So, good for them. They complained about it. NBA admitted in the 2-minute report they missed a couple fouls, so the referees decided they were going to favor the Sixers. That's not why we lost. The third quarter is why we lost.
That's exactly right. And the shooting from Philly is why we lost that game.
But Jalen Brunson finally woke up offensively. OG was better offensively. So there are some positives to be taken.
Well, I asked you yesterday. I said, could you tolerate a loss if I told you that Jalen Brunson had a terrific game? And Jalen Brunson had a terrific game. That was Jalen Brunson. And that was, as far as I'm concerned, that was not the typical Knicks defense, leaving guys wide open over and over and over. Knocking, I mean, they went, what you said, 9 of 12 from 3 in the third quarter?
Yeah.
I mean, that's almost unheard of. Here's the question. Do you think that Philadelphia is going to shoot 55% again in a game in this series?
No, I don't think they will. And on top of that, they shot 48%
right.
from 3.
So are they going to shoot 55% from the floor and 48% from 3? Because if they do, they're going to be real hard to beat. But I would take my chances they're not going to do that multiple times again.
Right. I think there's a better chance that role players play better in Philly, which was a concern going into this, into these two games. But no, I don't think they're going to shoot lights out like that. But I also understand that in order to slow Joel Embiid down, where he's not going for, 18 points in a quarter and scoring 50, is Isaiah Hartenstein, especially with Mitch out now, potentially, cannot keep getting himself into early foul trouble.
But it's hard because he's a hard guy to defend. And I think part of the thing that I looked at and I was like, all right, great, is I got 12 fouls to throw up against this guy, and Robinson's terrific defensively, and Hartenstein can score, and he adds an element. And if I lose that, if I lose what Mitchell Robinson brings to the table, it'd be catastrophic for the Knicks.
Especially, I mean, for the rebounding aspect of this, too. The Knicks actually got out-rebounded last night.
Right. But it was close, right? But they did get out-rebounded.
36-32, but, I mean, right. Hartenstein had 4 rebounds. Josh Hart had 6. I mean, it's going to be tough to slow down Joel Embiid, period, even on one leg, but you're going to need Hartenstein available. Precious was good when he came in, but let's just hope that these couple days here in between games 3 and 4 are enough to get Mitch back.
I hope so. If he doesn't come back and doesn't play, it would be a monumental loss. It really would be.
It's a huge loss. I mean, it's one of the advantages you have in the series. Is that you have those two guys, and what it does for you, I mean, offensive rebounds, all that stuff. Second chance points.
Ay, ay, ay. But, I mean, listen, Philly's brand of basketball, that dirty nature, that when I'm on the floor, I'm going to pull at your legs, I'm going to hit you in the gut, I'm going to hip check you, and, I mean, it's dirty. Don't get me wrong. Philly played a good game last night. They deserved to win the game, right? Maxey was good. Embiid was great. Campaign, I can't believe, made the shots that he made. Like, hats off to them. They did what they had to do. But separately, they're dirty. I hate them. And let's go.
Yeah, it's one of those situations, too, where you got a player that's so good that's consistently, you know, flopping around whining for calls. Raymond calls him a free throw merchant. And at the same time, Moon wants to be dirty.
Here's another one. Oh, poor little babies. You're mad the Knicks lost, so we have to make excuses.
No, it's not. I'm not mad that they lost. I didn't think they were going to win. You asked me yesterday. I thought they would lose. You thought they would lose.
And I said I think the Knicks are going to lose this game. I'm fine with the losing. I really am. I don't like it. I can tolerate it. I can. Being up 2-0, it's a spot where if Philly had any pride, they would answer the bell. And they did. What angers me is that Philly's a punk team, is what they are. They're a dirty little bunch of punks, is what they are.
And it's not even, it's not only like that I don't understand it. I get it. I played in the playoffs. I mean, it gets chippy. There are things that happen. My problem with this is the way this series changes now, as good as we felt up 2-0, is if something stupid like that, a dirty play like that, gets somebody hurt. And now that changes the complexion of the series. Like, what happens if when he's, you know, when Mitch is going off for that dunk, he pulls him down and Mitch's foot gets caught under Joel Embiid? And he has a serious ankle that causes him to miss the rest of the playoffs.
Well, you know what? Then it would be worth it for Embiid because he got a flagrant one. That's all he got.
Yeah, or OG. I mean, when he blindsides OG, then all of a sudden, I mean, that's the face, and OG's, you know, out with a concussion or something.
Or how about
stupid.
Larry hitting DiVincenzo in the head?
Like, that's my bigger concern. I understand it gets chippy, it's physical. I get that. But I mean, the last thing you want to have happen is a dirty play causes one of our players to be injured and now miss time.
But here's the thing: there is a difference between physical and chippy and dirty. Like, the Knicks teams of the 90s were physical and they would knock you in the mouth, but they didn't do it. I mean, maybe sometimes they even did, but it wasn't like that. Like, last night was jarring how dirty Philadelphia was.
Yeah, it was. There was some reckless plays made last night.
I almost felt, I think I put this in the group text, I almost felt like Embiid wanted to get thrown out of the game last night with the way he was playing.
Why would he want to be get? I mean,
well, no, I'm not saying it makes sense. I'm not saying he did. Like, that's what it looked like.
A guy couldn't miss in the third quarter.
Right, but the play on Hartenstein was gross, and the play on Mitchell Robinson was grosser. And watching him play, it felt like, you know what? I'm not really healthy. Throw me out of the game. So there's a built-in an excuse.
Yeah, I don't know if that was what he was trying to do. I just think that he decided he wanted to play chippy last night.
I want to hear some sound. Raymond, fire up the Tom Thibodeau on the Embiid flagrant foul.
Which one? The one they called or the one they didn't call? Okay. Oh, okay. All right. I just want to make sure we have clarity on that.
Yeah, because he's dirty. That's why. He's
last
great.
Night he was. Last night he was dirty.
He's great, and I've never said otherwise. He's dirty.
Last night there were some dirty plays made.
Really crossed the line last night. All right. Here's what we'll do. We'll take the break. We haven't even talked to the Knicks fan yet. Let's do that. 1-800-919-3776. 7:45, The Frenzy, and we roll along from there. DNR with you right here on 98.7 ESPN.
The road to the NBA Finals starts now, and new customers on FanDuel can go on their own playoff run with $150. Just place any $5 bet, and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. You like the Knicks to bounce back in Game 4? Bet it. You can also bet props like three-pointers made in any game, over-unders, point totals, or first basket score, and plenty more. Just go to FanDuel.com/Rick to get started. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 and older and physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonuses use non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-3.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
You know who else I despise now? Despise? Despise.
Right now?
Right now. Despise.
It's such a long list. I don't know right now. Who do you despise?
Nick Nurse.
Yeah, well, you already said that.
Well, you want to despise him a little more?
Might as well.
All right, here's what he said about what he saw from his star player last night.
I think tonight he was aggressive, driving it. He was rolling downhill. He was catching and shooting quick. There was hardly, I can think of maybe one where he held it for a long time and finally shot it. He made it. But most of it was decisive. Maybe that's a better word. I thought he was decisive on his decisions on when to roll and when to shoot tonight.
All right, fine. You know what? That's benign. Doesn't really get into any of the fouls. Was he worried about that dirty play when Embiid was on the ground?
A flagrant at the beginning. I mean, were you a little worried that it could have been like a flagrant too? And like, where did it ever cross your mind at all? That
I didn't even look at it. Sorry, I didn't see it. So,
Give me a break.
Of course, you saw it.
Give me a break.
So you're not gonna. So you mean to tell me that once they review that, you're not gonna go over and check?
But I cannot see. I'm legally blind.
To take a peek whether or not this is going to actually turn into a flagrant two here.
Should have been thrown out of the game. If that is...
He had a bad challenge last night too, Nurse.
Oh, it was brutal. I loved it, though.
I loved it, too.
If that was Precious Achiuwa, is he out of the game?
If that's Draymond Green, he's out of the game.
Well, and rightfully so.
It was a dangerous play.
Radio Critic, who usually is pretty good.
No, the Radio Critic stinks.
He says, bleep, you guys are insufferable. Talking all this bleep, then the Knicks lose and it's excuse city. I'm not making excuses.
This is not an excuse. No one is saying this is why we lost.
Listen to me. For all you jack wagons that are going to send an email and say, oh, you're whining. The Sixers deserved to win the game. Philadelphia was the better team. But separately, they were dirty. How is that an excuse?
Well, I don't think it is an excuse. It would be the exact same thing that's being talked about in Philly right now if Mitchell Robinson did that to Joel Embiid.
It'd be very different.
And as much as I despise Joel Embiid right now, and I wish someone punched him in the face last night, like I wish Dante DiVincenzo just punched him in the face, the fact that he just went for 50 with a bum knee and Bell's palsy is kind of insane.
It was a special performance is what it was. I guarantee you right now, they're just, you see that? They can't handle us. That's what they're doing right now in Philadelphia. They can't handle us, and they're going to say we're dirty, we do just what they do, but that's not true. The Knicks go up to the line of physicality. The Sixers cross the line and are dirty. But you know what? Nick Nurse didn't even see it, so good for them. Congratulations.
No, and let's also, and again, he deserves it. The knee, the Bell's palsy he's dealing with, did also say that they were going to come back and win the series and stepped up and scored 50. So
he did. But here's the thing. He's great. To me, he tarnished his great performance by being a punk last night.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is especially here. That's what we're going to be talking about.
Right.
It was not going to be the 50. It was going to be the fact that he made
We'll discuss the 52. I mean, he was amazing. What he did in the third quarter was phenomenal. He was MVP level Joel Embiid last night. He was great. So we have to give him props, and his play on the court was amazing. But the way he acted was petulant and childish and embarrassing, I thought, for him and the franchise.
His antics.
Ugh, they're awful.
Take some calls.
Let's go to the calls. Steve in Staten Island. Steve, good morning. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. So I actually drove down to the game in Philly last night. I was there. There were so many Knicks fans there. It was kind of embarrassing for the, you know, Philadelphia fan base. But, you know, earlier in the season, before Joel Embiid got hurt, I remember seeing a video on Twitter somebody made of him, the amount of time he flops throughout a game to get calls. You know, I didn't think much of it. I saw it. It was whatever. I didn't care too much of it. Yesterday, just being there live, seeing it in person, it was disgusting the amount of times he was flopping. Like, it was just embarrassing in order to get calls. So I do believe we lost because of those, you know, his flops. And then he, the dirty plays he had, he actually hit Mitchell Robinson in the groin too, besides Isaiah Hartenstein. And then obviously grabbing Mitchell Robinson. So I'm just hoping that, you know, the league can review those dirty plays because, you know, it's just ridiculous. Thank you for the phone call, guys.
Well, thank you for that. What are they going to do? I mean, you think they're going to suspend him? They're not going to suspend him. So what are they going to do? Maybe he gets just fined, but who cares?
No, who cares? I mean, it's going to be, what do they do that's going to affect game four?
Well, they got to clean things up.
Right, they're going to clean things up. Hopefully we get the benefit of the whistle in game four, just like the Sixers got the benefit of the whistle in game three.
You know what? Sixers are home again. I would say it's unlikely. I think they probably get the benefit of the doubt in game four again.
Well, I hope there's not as much of a disparity. I mean, you're talking about 33-19 there. Sixers are plus 15 points from the free throw line.
Here's Tibbs on the flagrant fouls by Joel Embiid.
Which one? The one they called or the one they didn't call? Okay. Oh, okay. All right. I just want to make sure we have clarity on that.
Now, RJ.
You just played that last segment. That one. What's wrong with you?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was screening a call. I apologize.
Wait, you can't be attacking me here, Rick.
No, it's my fault.
RJ just got in my ear and said, play this sound.
Well, if you played it, though, why would you call for it then?
Well, because I know you so well. I thought that you were telling me something different to play.
No. So you
royally screwed up there.
If I were you, I probably would have just not listened to what I said, but sure. I mean, yes, it's my fault.
But why would I I would assume that you had another something special that would make sense.
No,
there.
It's the same exact thing, so that's
great.
My fault.
Right. Great.
RJ didn't realize he was working with a puppet.
Oh, okay. All right, you know what? Fine. You want to lay down? You want to be the Joel Embiid of Sports Talk Radio? Go. You go ahead.
Here we go.
Go ahead, do it. It's great. Real classy. Way to handle yourself.
I'm not the one that's calling for the same
sound.
My
elite producer
heard.
Says, listen, play this. I'm like, all right, you know what? Play that. It happens to be the same thing, and it's my fault.
All of a sudden, you turn into Ron Burgundy.
Okay. He said it to me. Go, play this.
All right.
Who am I? I follow directions. I'm a rule follower by nature.
All right, take some more calls. Would you please stop playing sound?
You know, here's the thing. We're not playing any more sound today. Take all the sound you've cut, RJ, and shove it right where the sun doesn't shine. Shove it away is what you can do with it. You set me up to fail.
Maybe this is his response. How you handled the pregame party read.
You're Joel Embiid, and you're Joel Embiid, and you're Joel Embiid. I'm working with Joel Embiid's.
I'm uncomfortable.
Will in Pennsylvania. Will, you're on 98.7.
Hey, how you doing? I am so upset about this. And good morning to all of y'all.
Good morning.
You talking about New York. New York. You know what I mean? We go out to Philly. I'm from Pennsylvania anyway. But I love my New York team, number one. And all those cowards that's talking about, oh, we cry. Y'all had to cry yesterday what y'all did to us. Play basketball. You get paid money. Big money. They should put all those little punks to 9 to 5 and see how you play then. You don't go out there trying to hurt someone. You play basketball and win the game like everybody else does. And Nick Nurse, you know you a punk by complaining, oh, we're not winning, they're getting all the fouls. Shut your mouth. You want a cookie, you little punk?
Oh, I like this guy.
And tell him, I hate that guy. He is terrible. Play like a little girl. You should put him on a little WNBA. See what you get out of that.
Let's not be sexist and nasty, Will. I mean, I agree with everything he was saying. He was fired up. He was angry, and good for him. No reason to take shots where he was, but
He got a little carried away there at the end.
Yeah. But appropriate otherwise.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though, too. I mean, there's a level of physicality that you have to play with at this point of the season, which is fine.
I welcome the physicality.
Right.
I think the Knicks would like the physicality.
If it's a basketball play, right? Like, that was not a basketball play. Like, while you're laying on the ground trying to grabbing Mitchell Robinson's leg as he's going up for a dunk is a dangerous play. That is not a basketball play.
No. Intentionally smacking someone in the groin is uncalled for and absurd. And he does these things. Oh, if you watch the game from beginning to end right now, he probably has 7 of those plays last night. All differing in severity, but numerous times that he was dirty. Why can't you be a 76ers fan and look at the situation and say, great win, thrilled with it, we were dirty? Like, why can't you say that? If the Knicks won by playing dirty, I would say the Knicks won and they were dirty. They're two completely separate things.
Right,
but
let me ask you this, though. Did you ever get on the radio? I wasn't working with you at the time. Get on the radio and admit that, like, Sean Avery was dirty?
Sean Avery was dirty.
Okay.
I thought Sean Avery was a punk. He was my punk, and I still rooted for him, but he was dirty and he was a punk. Listen, when my guys do something or cheat, or whatever, I'll call it like I see it. Strahan, the sack record, was absurd to me. They choreographed it. Favre went down. He laid on top of him. It was comical. So if I see something, I don't see what's wrong if you're a 76ers fan right now saying, I'm thrilled we won. The way we went about it was a tad embarrassing. Why is that so awful?
I don't think it is. And I didn't think it was possible to love you more than I already do. But I think it might have just happened.
Well, I mean, we share a bond.
I mean, there's a level of closeness here that I think translates well on the pickleball
court. This was literally 3 minutes ago.
You're Joel Embiid, and you're Joel Embiid, and you're Joel Embiid. I'm working with Joel Embiid's. 3 minutes ago, that's how I felt.
Listen, Raymond, when you love somebody the way that I love Dave and he loves me, you just... Sometimes nasty things get
stuff.
Said.
Yeah, I mean, we're very close. I mean, we wake up in the middle of the night to work with each other. I mean, sometimes it's going to get a little feisty and testy, and it's fine.
And I love it.
You know who's coming to UBS Arena?
Tug?
Nope. Tim McGraw coming to UBS Arena Thursday, May 9th. I'm going to carry this on my own because I don't want to tax RJ. Thursday, May 9th is when it's going to be.
You're a bad guy today.
What do you mean? Caller number. What number caller, Rick? Can you participate with that?
Ooh, all right, I'll participate. Let's go with call number 8 for the Atlanta Falcons.
Number 8 in honor of the Atlanta Falcons right now, 888-987-ESPN. You'll score a pair of tickets. For full contest rules, go to ESPNNewYork.com. Brought to you by Live Nation. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. We take a break. More your calls on the Knicks. Then we have a special draft frenzy. So 1-800-919-3776. DNR 98.7 ESPN. All right, now Dave Rothenberg here to tell you about my friends at Bathfitter. They converted my kid's bathtub to a shower. Did an amazing job. Customized just as we wanted. Only one expert installer in the house. Process was easy. There's no demo. There's no mess. And Bathfitter is a high quality permanent solution with a lifetime guarantee. 3+ million happy customers like me and my wife, and for a limited time, get 0% interest or save $500 on a complete Bathfitter system. So start designing your bath today like we did at BathfitterDesign.com. There's only one Bathfitter.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
So this was the question asked in the pool report to the with the officials. So crew chief Zach Zarba, this is what he said about the flagrant one instead of flagrant two.
Okay.
In that situation, the crew gets together. We go and review the foul. In this instance, the crew was unanimous along with the replay center official and Secaucus that this foul was unnecessary but did not rise to the level of flagrant two. The unnecessary contact rose to the level of a flagrant one, but we were unanimous that this does not rise to the level of excessive contact, unnecessary and excessive, which would have been a flagrant two ejection.
How?
That's why we kept it.
So two things. A, how? B, how about the other time? When he moments earlier when he smacked Hartenstein right in the groin when he's running by him. How about that? That's not a flagrant one?
Well, you had two groin shots. You had that, and then you had the referee standing right next to the play where OG's trying to come up the floor and gets hip checked by.
He should have been thrown out of the game. I'm sorry. Even if you look at the one where he's on the ground and he's pulling at the legs of Robinson as a flagrant one, there was numerous times he should have gotten an additional flagrant one.
Yeah, that's right. But they didn't.
They didn't.
And so he scored 50.
All right. Well, you know what? It is what it is. And he played great. He played a great basketball game. He's just a dirty punk. Carl in Queens. Carl, you're on 98.7. Go.
Wow. Well, good morning, fellas. If there was anyone out there that needed another reason to hate Philadelphia, I think you got it last night. To quote Dave, that punk. I'll go a step further. Scum. Joel Embiid, playoff career high in points, career high in dirty plays. Lowry, too, would like to clock him in the face. Go send Will. Go get him. But and especially after he takes out Mitch's legs, guys, what got me going even more, he goes at Dante and OG. Like, he's the one, you know, he's acting a victim.
Yeah, like he's the victim there. Oh, Dante, you're annoyed with me for being dirty? How dare you?
Are you joking? And so to the punk emails you're getting, assuming it's a couple of dirty Philly fans, in order for you guys to win, four things. It took a huge, huge third quarter. Took Mitch exiting the game, took Hartenstein getting into foul trouble, and took Embiid dropping 50. So be ready on Sunday, because I know our boys will be, because we're coming. And real quick, guys, what are they saying on Mitch day-to-day? Is that all they're saying for now?
He left in a walking boot.
There's no report. Oh, okay. There's no report. Just
well, a couple
tuned.
Things. And thanks for the call. He was questionable coming into the game. If you watch the game, he never looked right. Like, even running up and down the court, he looked hobbled.
Was because they fell on his leg.
But he didn't look right even before that. It got more pronounced, but he never looked healthy to me.
Well, I think it was. I think he started to look not healthy when Embiid fell on his leg and ankle.
So I don't know. I mean, you get the extra day off, but you're in a walking boot and you look like that. I'd be surprised if he played in game four.
That's going to be a big loss if he doesn't.
Yeah, huge loss. D in Queens. Good morning, D.
Listen, what's up, fellas? And I don't want to hear any cleanup garbage because Rick played hockey. One way or the other, Embiid shouldn't have finished that game. I'm going to keep it like that. Okay? Like, I don't understand. If Knicks want to play hard, Tom Thibodeau needs to expand his bench and make sure Embiid doesn't finish the game. One way or the other. If they're going to play like that and the rest going to let it go, all right, let's have fun. Let's have fun for real. Like, enough is enough. Like, no crying. All right, bet. That's how you want to get down? We're going to put you in tears for real, Embiid. Like, for real. Because if I play ball, if someone did that playing ball, forget leaving the game.
Yeah, but that's different, though.
Turn into something else.
Right, but D, I mean, that's not what Tibbs is about.
Tibbs is
all about playing hard, not dirty.
I understand that. But if this is how they're going to let it go, you can't play one hand behind your back. If they're allowing one dude to just act like an animal, it's time to let the beast out. Like, don't talk about you and Nick, and this is Nick's basketball. Okay, if we talk 90s ball, none of this would have happened if Ophie was around. Let's be real honest.
You're right, but you know what? Different era. I mean, 90s basketball, you're now talking about 30, 35 years ago. So it's just, I'm sorry, it's just not the same. That's not the NBA. Let's be fair. The NBA is a different version. It's a softer version of what it used to be.
Who's a Charles Oakley in today's game?
I mean, Carmelo would have gone bananas over something like that. I mean, guys would have lost their mind. Bill Laimbeer would have started attacking everybody.
Yeah, but how many games? I mean, if you watch some of the Bill Laimbeer fouls that were just called fouls. I mean,
you ever see the one on Larry Bird where he almost decapitated him?
Yeah.
Or Kevin McHale?
Clotheslined him.
Dirty, dirty stuff. Well, let's go to Joe in Manhattan. Hi, Joe.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
So, listen, I'm from the era also of the last caller. I understand guy takes the ball to the hole. Yeah, sure, he should get cracked. It's the playoffs. I understand that. So I'm not so mad about the thing with Dante. Of course, we're in Philadelphia, so their role players are going to step up, much like our guys step up in the Garden. But the NBA is setting a very, very dangerous precedent by not throwing Embiid out of that game. What you're basically saying is, I could get a bum off the end of my bench to come in the game, lay down on the floor, wait for Embiid to go up, and I could just grab both of his legs and seize what happens. I know I'm only going to get a one out of it.
No. Yeah, but that's not. But you know, that's not what's going to happen. This is like one of those.
And the other guys, you know, they conferred together and they all agreed. Yeah, you know, it was.
Well, because it was Joe. I think because it was
Joel Embiid. It was Joel Embiid. Throw Embiid out of the game.
Right. This is like the whole Jimmy Johnson thing, right? Like if Troy Aikman falls asleep in a meeting, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to go wake him up. Well, what about if this guy? Well, if he's
going to cut him,
I'm going to cut him.
Right.
I mean, it's the reigning MVP. He gets special treatment. As much as you hate to say that,
I'm going to regret saying this now, but you ever hear the phrase different strokes for different folks?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But listen, I'm not talking about, you know, getting to the free throw line 20 times. We're talking about, you know, you could have potentially ended this guy's career.
I mean, Joe, you call it discussing things that we agree with, but they were never going to, unless Joel Embiid does something so unbelievable, and thanks to the call, out of line egregious, he's not going to be thrown out of the game.
Right, and I also think it depends on who you do it to also.
It all matters.
Right? Like, I mean, if that's Jalen Brunson going up for a layup and he does that, maybe it's a different outcome.
I still say he probably doesn't get thrown out of the game.
No, probably not, but I'm just saying, like, I mean.
Yes, Mitchell Robinson was a good person to do that against. What goes through his mind, though?
Well, what he said or what was really going through his mind? Well,
but what could possibly go through? I know what he said. What he said was embarrassing. What goes through your mind that there's a guy there, you're on the floor, he's nowhere near you, and you decide to grab onto his ankles like you're trying to tackle him?
In honesty?
Yes.
It sometimes nothing is going through your mind. Like in that moment, you just react. Like he's like, oh, he's going to go for a dunk? I'm on the ground. Let me just grab his foot.
It was really gross.
Well, it would have been gross if that foot got caught under Joel Embiid's side when he came down on it, because that would have been ugly.
Carl in Springfield. Good morning, Carl. You're on 98.7.
How you doing, guys? Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Appreciate the call,
Dave,
Carl.
Dave, I feel like we vibe. 312, birthday buddies.
Nice.
Happy belated.
Same to you.
Continuing with what everyone's saying and what you guys are saying, and to piggyback on what you guys were just talking about, if you watch the whole sequence, Embiid was furious. He thought he got fouled on the three, which wasn't there. And then he thought he drew an offensive foul, got right into his chest, just a tough play, goes to the ground. And then all of a sudden, in a rage of fury of the two things, he decides to grab his leg. And if those roles were reversed, Mitchell Robinson grabbing Embiid, 0% chance Mitchell Robinson is still in the game.
But Carl, don't give him the benefit of it was a rage of fury. It was a temper tantrum is what it is.
He's a baby.
Yeah.
He's an absolute baby. And thanks for the call, Carl. He's a tremendous child. He's flopping all over the place. He looks like a fish out of water. He wants to call on every single play. He gets moderately touched and he acts like he's been, you know, slapped across the head. It's disgusting is what it is.
Yeah, we got to do a better job, though, too. We got to attack him. Now, he's not the same player defensively. I mean, as much as Hartenstein was in early foul trouble, so was Embiid. I mean, Embiid got his third foul with...
He had this third foul midway through the second quarter.
It was 6:27 left in the second quarter. He took his third foul.
And they left him in the game.
Guys, let's attack him.
Which is really unheard of.
Well, this is a must-win game for them.
I know, but it's still risky. I mean, he picks up a fourth foul there?
I get it, but he's also your best chance to win.
And also the Knicks' option offensively was Mitchell Robinson, so they're probably figuring, you know, we're not going to have to worry about him picking up his fourth.
Right.
Let's go to OG in Manhattan. Good morning, OG.
What's up, Dave? What's up, Rick? RJ? Yo, there's only one party that you guys haven't called out, and that's David Stern in the NBA. Okay, you guys.
Did you just say David Stern?
Well, I apologize. I'm 61, Dave.
I'm 51, but I know David Stern's been passed for years.
Okay. You know, it just came out of fury. I apologize. Whoever the current NBA commissioner
Adam
is.
Adam Silver would be that guy.
He should be told. Come on, man. Come on. That was obvious. And not only one, he had seven. Seven. Three out of the seven were flagrant. If it's going to be like that, then I agree what Rick says. Then let's go down the paint hard, okay? And let's put some of our bench players to play the power position and the center position to the defendant beat. And every time he goes up, pick up that foul. After everybody gets that we don't really need, gets three or four fouls on them, and he gets banged up about
a good 10, 12 times, all that crap will stop. I love you guys. Keep up the good work. Rick, I need you to amp up Dave, man. He's got to bring it up a notch. Thank you, guys.
What are you looking for? Honestly, what is it that you want from me? I'm furious with that punk. I wish he was slapped across his face, but it is what it is, and we're still winning the series 2-1.
Rip your shirt off.
I'm not going to
do
that.
Right now. Rip
Andrew
it right off.
L., the reason the Knicks fans are so mad about Embiid and his, quote, dirty plays because they're getting super worried they might get beat. Same old Knicks frauds.
That's funny coming from a Sixers fan.
Really? Honestly, Sixers fans are the – Philadelphia fans are the – they are – you wonder why they're considered the toilet bowl of fans around the country.
This oh, is, get them. Get
this em. Is why. No, really. Am I wrong? Tell me what's wrong about this. They are – you know the septic tank? You know when the crap oozes out and you look at your
yes.
lawn, you're like, oh, no, what's happened there? You know what that is? That crap that oozes out of the ground that's come from your a noose. All right, you know what that is? That's too good for Sixers fans. All right, Philadelphia is a notch lower than the crap that oozes out of the septic tank. They're a grotesque fan base. And you know what they would do? If I went to the bathroom now, flushed the toilet, and it oozed, you know what they would do? They'd eat it, because that's what they do. They're a repulsive city and a repulsive fan base, and they should be punished, and I can't wait to beat you in Game 4 and 5. You jerks.
Yes.
That's fired up.
They are, because they're the worst, is what they are.
I don't know what's worse than whatever's oozing out of the septic tank. That's pretty
worse.
Nasty.
Whatever's oozing out of the septic tank, that they're not even at that level.
What you gonna do when Hulkamania run wild on you?
They look up to that level of feces and says, man, we wish we were that good. We're worse than that.
Well, that was pretty aggressive, buddy.
Sorry.
That's a pretty nice wrestling promo you just cut right there.
Well, sometimes you got to let it go.
That's it. Feel better? You feel better at all?
I felt fine before. I'm sick and tired of their antics and their nonsense.
Philly fans are tough.
Well, they're stupid. That's the thing. At least be somewhat of a bright fan.
Well, I just don't understand how speaking on a dirty play, or multiple dirty plays, and then also saying at the same time, that's not the reason why we lost the game, is whining.
They hear it. I guess they hear what they want to hear.
Or they just don't want to, they appreciate? No, they can't appreciate that. I guess they maybe
no.
They do.
Well, if the Knicks did that, would you be like, oh, it was great, Mitchell Robinson tackled this guy? You wouldn't feel good about that.
No.
You would
not
feel good about that.
I probably wouldn't feel good about it. I mean, I'd feel good about the win, and I'd be happy that he didn't get kicked out. I mean, I guess that's the, how else would you feel about it, though? I mean, he's their best player. He went for 50. He gets kicked out of that game, they lose.
No, they're not winning that game. RJ.
Yes, Dave.
I have an idea, and you tell me what you think.
Okay.
Are we this much on the same page that you think there's a chance that you know what I'm going to say?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I want to give you your room to spread your idea.
Here's what I'm thinking.
I'm nervous today, the way you just yelled at all of Philadelphia. So.
But I wasn't yelling at you.
You could, though. You could turn your anger on me at any moment.
But I would not, because I love you.
Okay.
But here's what I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. Do we ride out some of these calls and maybe hit the frenzy at 8:10?
I was thinking so.
So you had the same thought?
I was nervous to say it, but yes.
So now you're walking on eggshells around me today?
Calls!
Yeah, I mean, listen, I've already had a slip-up. I think I'm on your bad side today, so I'm walking very, very tepidly.
Gingerly, as some might say.
Gingerly. I'm gonna call David Stearns.
What year is it, by the way?
I'm gonna need a Ouija board for that.
Dave is going off on Philly. Got David Stearns running the NBA.
I like the excuse too. I'm 61.
Okay.
Right.
I think I would do that what is the acceptable age once you cross over age X? You can just be like, you know.
Well, 61's not
no,
that
not
old, 60, though.
I would say 80.
61 is not that age.
No. You're 82 when you're like you just sideswiped that car. Ah.
Like Nana Ginny pees her pants. She's 94.
Right. You know what? I mean, you know what? Who doesn't love the smell of urine in the morning, right? Like that. You can get away with that. You're 61.
Yeah.
I'm 70.
I think OG drives a large, I think he drives a large truck also. So, I mean, if we're already going to the well of, I'm 61, I mean, he's out there somewhere on the streets. And I love OG. But yes,
yeah, it was odd.
That'd be a tough excuse. Like, hey, you're driving down the wrong side of the road. Hey, 61.
Yeah.
You know?
You're going the wrong way. I'm 61.
Ah, okay.
Oh, you know what? We'll let
you off with a warning.
Okay. Calls.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the calls. I see what you're doing here. Xavier in Albany. Good morning, Xavier.
Good morning, company. How are you guys doing? Gabe, you saying the Phillies fans are worse than septic waste is it's priceless this morning. Just real quick, guys, different perspective because we all forget, you know, during the year, Draymond Green gets suspended, and it's because of his history. And I just want to say that, you know, I know it was a bad play. It was dirty. It was real bad, and Mitchell Robinson really could have got hurt. Yes, true. But the truth of the matter is it's one incident for Joel Embiid. He does not have a history of doing this all the time. He's not a habitual offender. So I think the refs probably looked at it as one isolated situation.
Hold on one second, though. It wasn't the first instance in the same game.
Yeah, but were they both as bad as the one he did for Mitchell Robinson?
Well, I mean, he need Isaiah Hartenstein in the groin.
Right, as he was just casually
kind of
running
stuff
by
all
him.
The time and guys, we see that kind of stuff all the time. And guys,
oh, come
don't get
on, Xavier.
Elbow to the stomach, all kinds of stuff. We
oh,
see that
you know
all
what?
The
How
time.
Can you? So you're a Sixers
though,
fan,
Dave.
So just say you're a
I'm
Sixers
not.
Fan.
I don't
right?
like the Sixers, but let me ask you a question, Dave. Yeah. Do you consider Joel Embiid a habitual offender of these rules? Just take the playoff game out of it. You're just talking about this playoff game. Take it out of it. Is he a dirty player all around?
I never thought of him as a very dirty player. Last night, he was
so
a violent. He was, but who cares? You don't have to be Draymond Green to play dirty in a game. Xavier, numerous times last night, he was over the top dirty. Numerous times.
It's not like he
hasn't
done
stuff
before.
But he's not a dirty player, though. But you
I don't care.
He's a dirty player.
Why does that matter? Why does that matter? So if you have no history of being dirty and now you're
out.
If you had one incident last night, say he had one time, he had at least three that I can think of right now that were really dirty. How is that okay?
I don't think it's okay. I'm just thinking that the rest looked at it as an isolated game. He's not going to keep doing that. He's an MVP. He's a
I don't care if he's an MVP.
Well, but they do. But they do. To Xavier's point, they do.
But that's not what he's saying.
He's
saying it's not a big deal.
Well, but that's how okay, here's the thing. At a certain point, thank you for the phone call, Xavier. If you're a great player, okay, but you have the habit of being a dirty player, at some point, enough is enough. As good as you are, we can't have you out here trying to hurt people. We're going to have to hold you accountable. If you don't, if you're kind of maybe close and you're in a spot like last night where it's a must-win game for the Sixers and you do something that's dirty and you're Joel Embiid, the reigning MVP, what's the likelihood that they're really going to kick you out?
And let's not act like he doesn't have a history of shady moves. Go watch the Atlanta-Philly series.
Right. Listen,
he's done stuff before.
He has done stuff before. But could you, I mean, for them to kick him out in that spot.
They're not going to kick him out.
Right.
They're not going to kick him out.
It would have been, that's not what the NBA wanted.
He would have to taken the foot off of the ankle for them to kick him out of
right.
the game.
Right. And even if, I got a strong feeling that even if the referee was like, hey, you know, I think that we probably should call a flagrant two here. The people in Secaucus are probably, no.
Yeah.
We're not
going,
doing that.
He's not going anywhere. Let's go to Mike in Albany. Good morning, Michael.
Fellas.
What's up, Mike?
What's going on, fellas?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right. I just want to bring up a little point here. I hear all the Knicks fans, you know, crying a little bit, big, tough Knicks fans. They should be counting their blessings right now. They're up 2-1. They should be down 2-1. Defensive genius Mr. Thibodeau has no answer for a one-legged Joel Embiid. I mean, come on now.
Who said who said the Knicks shouldn't be down 2-1, Mike?
Every caller, you know.
I haven't heard one. You know what? I'll sit here and tell you right now. The Knicks are very fortunate to be up 2-1, but they are.
Just saying. I think you got to turn your focus to. Let's figure out how to stop Mr. Embiid, and then
move along.
Has anyone really?
Okay, we're done.
Has anyone really figured out a way to slow down or stop Joel Embiid?
No, not really.
If he's going to make, if he's casually going to make 25-foot three-pointers without even jumping off the ground, yeah, he's kind of difficult to stop.
It's going to be nearly impossible.
Breaking news.
To stop.
I don't know if you knew that.
Here's the thing.
He's going to get to the line for 21 free throw attempts,
which is wild. And some of those, you're like, wait, that was a foul.
Did you see the stats? The fewest shot attempts to get to 50 points in the playoffs. It's unbelievable.
How many shots did he take last
19.
Night? 19. That is pretty remarkable.
19 shots, 50 points.
Mike in Bergen. Hi, Mike.
Dave, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. I really want to talk to you a little bit about how dramatic you guys are being along the lines of the play. You're absolutely right. It was completely out of line. He was out of control in the first quarter. He got a flagrant. It was a foul. It was completely unsafe. But at what point are we going to say, the rest of the game, we need to move on? To throw him out for that play,
he should have been thrown out.
You guys are being
soft. Regular season game, thrown out of it.
Okay. Well, at some point, the Knicks fans need to understand that there are plays that are unsafe. He was completely wrong. It was an embarrassment as a Sixers fan. But at some point, the rest of the game, you guys need to lock in and control the guy.
Mike, you're not wrong. I think what you're saying is 100% accurate. I'm not using it as an excuse. I'm saying what he did numerous times was dirty, probably should have been thrown out, wasn't thrown out, played phenomenal basketball. The Knicks couldn't contain him, and now we're up 2-1 instead of 3-none.
The unfortunate reality is everyone's just talking about this one play, and when you're saying numerous plays that he was dirty. Are you referring to when he did a swim move on your center and your center flopped? Is that what the one you're talking about?
I'm talking about when he smacked Hartenstein in the groin is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, the one where he kicked Mitchell Robinson in the groin, or when he blindside hip checked OG Anunoby.
Right. Yeah, pick one.
As the official standing there watching, but no, we can't, because he's already in foul trouble, so we can't call that.
And why not? Listen, and why not complain about it? Nick Nurse complained about it. The Sixers complained about it. And they whined about it.
Nick Nurse didn't say, you know what? Just say, the officiating has been hot and cold all series. Maybe we got some fortune. They got some fortune. It's a 2-1 series. Let's go. I didn't see it. I didn't see any of it.
No, there's a big difference, though, man. There is. To how Nick Nurse handled it at the end of that game, too, and how Tibbs handled it at the end of game 3.
Yeah, very businesslike for Tibbs. Very,
we got to do better.
Weaselly,
he says.
From
we
got
to do better. He doesn't say the refs got. We got to do better.
We got to do better. Right. Adam in Monroe. Hi, Adam.
Hey, Dave. Rick. Good morning, boys. Good morning, company. How's everybody doing today?
Good. What's up, buddy?
Good. So, my initial thought was, I think it was D who called earlier saying that he expected, you know, if Embiid's going to play dirty like that, they want the Knicks to kind of bring a bench player in and hit him. I'm not saying necessarily I'm upset with that, because that you know, you don't one up a dirty play with another dirty play. However, I don't like the way the Knicks reacted initially when it happened, right? Now, I'm unfortunately a Nets fan. I don't want to get into that, but I do love the way the Knicks are playing basketball this year, and they have that grit to them. And DiVincenzo reluctantly got in the face of Embiid.
That was not reluctantly.
I wouldn't say reluctantly. I'd say he wasn't.
You just said reluctantly.
Right.
That's the word you just said reluctantly is what you said.
Okay. What I mean is he went into his face, but you understood that DiVincenzo understood that Embiid was a bigger guy, right? What I expected from the Knicks personally, and Brunson even, initially Brunson turns and starts looking at the ref, which is a good reaction, but me personally, I expected from that team 2 to 3 guys up in Embiid's grill pushing him back, not with their hands, but chest to chest, like, whoa, what is going on here? What did you get? That's the reaction.
What is that going to do, though, Adam? Adam, what is that going to do? What does that accomplish?
You get thrown out of the game.
It accomplishes nothing.
No.
It accomplishes nothing. All it does is show Joel Embiid that what he's doing is getting to them. That's it. In a situation like that, unless you can fight, which you can't in the NBA, then you gotta be composed. I appreciate the fact that Dante went over there. And as far as D with the, you know, eye for an eye, send someone out there. So then what happens now? So right now you send one of your bench players out to go try to go after Joel Embiid. What happens with Jalen Brunson now? Do they go after Jalen Brunson?
Right. And this is exactly the reason that hockey has it right. Because there's enforcers, and they'll go out, and they'll fight. And then the star players rarely, and thanks for the call, Adam, rarely get touched.
And in a clean way, if you're frustrated or you're pissed off, that TJ Oshie high-stuck you in the face or put you in a headlock, what you can do is wait for the moment where he has his head down with the puck on his stick, and you can blast through him.
That's right.
Like
exactly.
Panarin did.
By the way, you're listening to DNR 98.7 ESPN WEPN-FM. Where?
New York.
That's right. 1-800-919-3776. We're about 12 minutes away from a football frenzy. But apparently we're public enemies number one and two because we think Joel Embiid is dirty. Let's go to Hector in the Bronx. Good morning, Hector.
Good morning, Dave and Rick. Look, Embiid should be suspended. It was too many. It's too many dirty plays he did. Draymond would have got thrown and suspended for the whole playoffs.
No, but, Draymond has a history of being dirty.
Yes,
though.
He does. Plus, the referees, Alan Hahn said, this ref that ref the game, the Knicks are 6-15 with whenever he refs. That with that record, we already knew it was going to be a bad game, but you hurt the dude. He literally hurt the dude. And then after the game, he sat up there like a punk and was like, oh, I thought when an incident that happened before, that's what happened. That's why I did that. Come on, man. Are you serious?
He doesn't care.
There's no way possible this man should be playing a game for.
Oh,
no way. The league has to do something.
There's 0% chance that happens.
Zero chance that he – if he wasn't thrown out last night, there's no way they're going to look at the film. You think there's any chance? I mean, the NBA is trying to make money here too, and they want to put their best product on the court. You think that by suspending Joel Embiid, they would ever consider doing that? No way.
No chance. Here's the dirty little secret too about professional sports is – owners love as many playoff games as humanly possible.
Well, it's free money.
Because guess who doesn't get paid during the playoffs?
The players don't get paid, and you get oodles of money.
You get all the money.
Yeah. Let's go to Ellie in Rockville. Good morning, Ellie.
Good morning, guys. Good morning. I got to tell you, I've been a long-time listener. I listen to you guys every morning on my drive to work, and I really enjoy your show. The banter's great. Sports is great. The back and forth, I really enjoy it. So to my point, basically, me and my boys, we went down. We drove to Philly. We went to the game. And I just got to tell you, the atmosphere walking in from the parking, we must have passed at least 30 to 50 Knicks fans. I'm talking about Knicks fan after Knicks fan, where the vibe, the let's go Knicks, go New York, go New York, like just chant after chant, and Philly fans are like, just, you know, there's a few of them here, now you're not, you know, but for the most part, it wasn't even an away game. This was like Madison Square Garden 2.0.
Well, you heard it, Ellie, when you were watching the game on television. It's not like you only felt it when, thanks for the call, when you were there. You felt it watching that game on TV. There was a real New York flavor to that game last night.
You could see it, too, right behind the Knicks bench, how many Knicks fans were there. They traveled. I mean, listen, this is a big series, man. It's not that long of a drive.
No, it's a nothing drive.
You have the chance to get tickets. Go support your team.
Yeah, and they did. They went out in droves. Alan Cranford. Hi, Al.
Hey, good morning, Dave. I just want to know, obviously not knowing how the series is going to go, can we put this behind us, come free agency, to try to acquire Embiid?
Yeah. What do you mean free agency? I mean, if he's available.
By trade? He means by trade. Because that was the rumor for the past year that after this season they would trade for Embiid, which I was never on board with, you remember.
That's a hard one right now. He's so good, though.
If you're going to tell me that Joel Embiid was going to stay
healthy.
He's
hurt all the time. He's hurt all the time, and he's this type of guy. I don't want him.
Yeah, right. I'll tell you right now, I'd prefer to him.
Right, but I'll tell you right now, if even when hurt, I mean, guy's got a bum knee and Bell's palsy.
I guarantee you.
Can play like this.
I guarantee you he comes here and it turns into Antonio McDice. I'm good.
I love Ray's takes.
He stands by him.
Yeah, no, Antonio McDice, what a disaster that was, huh?
Hey, come on, let's not do that now.
Let's go to Charles in Schenectady. Hi, Charles.
listening to these Knicks fans crying and, oh, my goodness, Embiid grabbed the guy's ankles. What about the – and I'm not a Philly fan or a Knicks fan, to be honest with you, but what about the Philly guys having an argument saying that we actually lost the game because of no ref calls that happened in those 15 seconds in the Garden? That's a legitimate beef.
Charles, both are not legitimate beefs?
No.
No?
That happened in the first quarter.
Oh, my God.
One was a set.
Charles, you know what? Honestly, take your head and run right into the wall head first. Goodbye.
I thought that was going on another place.
Yeah, I thought the head was going somewhere else.
I really thought that was going somewhere else.
Just run right into the wall head first. It was dirty.
It was dirty. The issue is, should it have been a flagrant two? And if you think it was dirty enough to be a flagrant two, means that Joel Embiid is kicked out of the game and doesn't go for 50, doesn't have 18 in the third quarter, and you most likely win.
But people don't seem to be able to understand this.
Right. Like, I mean, if we wanted to take that completely out of this conversation for a second, there are plenty of things that you could point to that the Knicks have to do better in order to win game four. Right? Positive is Jalen Brunson looked like Jalen Brunson. OG was better offensively. Negatives, Dante's got to be better. Dante DiVincenzo was not good offensively last night. Isaiah Hartenstein cannot keep putting himself in early foul trouble, especially if Mitchell Robinson is going to be out. That's a problem.
If Robinson's out, Hartenstein's got to play 35-plus minutes.
Right, and Precious was good when he came in, but, I mean, one of the strengths of this team is their ability to rebound, especially offensively. And Mitchell Robinson is a big piece of that. And he's a bigger body than Precious is.
I'm shocked that Embiid and the Sixers are getting such defense this morning.
I told you, we're popular in Philly.
Right, but I think part of it, too, is what happened at the end of game two.
Yeah, but one has nothing to do with the other. Knicks got good fortune by the officials messing something up.
Yeah, but I knew this was going to happen, though. It's going to be, we're going after them for complaining about game two, and now we're sitting here complaining about what happened in game three.
No, but it's different. This is not an apples to apples comparison.
Well, I think the breakdown here is in the nuance of the conversation. Dave, you're saying it doesn't have anything to do with each other, and Rick is saying that they complained after the game. Maybe these were the adjustments. Like, maybe Philadelphia sat down.
Philadelphia went behind closed doors and said, "All right, guys, let's play dirty basketball."
Maybe not in those words, but they said, "Okay, these refs are going to let
anything goes."
I mean, maybe they intend to find where the line is. And to be honest, have we found it yet?
Well, no one's thrown out, so probably not.
So.
And they also had the advantage of 33-19 in free throw attempts.
And the breakdown also is that Mitch didn't see. I think part of the problem is in just listening to everyone call in and discuss, and one side or the other, Mitch didn't finish the game. So we don't know what's going to happen moving forward with him. But so when you talk about a flagrant one or flagrant two, difference between, okay, our guy didn't finish the game and yours didn't finish the game. Your guy did finish.
But when the Knicks won game two, did anyone anywhere say the Knicks played dirty? Or did they just get fortune of a potentially missed call?
Okay, but why is this how this is connecting in your mind? No one is saying that it has nothing to do with that. The point that a Philly fan would make to you right now is that if they listen to the show or they listen to the station, is that we were talking about how Nick Nurse and Joel Embiid and the Philly fans were complaining about the officiating,
right,
and not focused on, hey, you didn't really call the timeout. You didn't secure the basketball. Kyle Lowry missed the free throw. Like, those are the reasons why you lost. And yet you're still complaining about the refereeing. That's what they'll use to say, well, now you're complaining about the officiating.
But it's different.
I know, but it's still officiating. I get what you're saying.
It's not all the same.
It is not all the same. I agree with you. But you hurt people's feelings when you said that they were complaining about the officiating, and now they're going to come back at you.
Well, but that's not what I was saying. I mean, you're coming back at me for something that's just, it's not apples to apples. It's not a comparison.
But I don't think a single Knicks fan has said officiating is the reason we lost the game. I don't think a single one has.
No one has. But what does it
involve? And I haven't. And I've made sure to not say that.
Right, but you just said the magic word, though. They hear what they want to hear, and you said the magic word, officiating.
Okay, fine. So call me and yell at me.
It deals with officiating.
But fine.
And I think RJ is also right. And that's smart by Philly. We complained about it so much after game two. We're home now. We expect that we're going to get the favor of the whistle, so let's take advantage of it.
Okay, well, you know what? Fine. If that's what the bar is going to be, let's play.
All right, so if Joel Embiid gets punched in the face next game, I don't want to hear them complain. because he's begging for it.
Begging for it. Maybe we dress Raymond up. Raymond sounds like he's got the fire to do it.
I think Raymond should get some minutes.
I would love to see Ray go out there.
I think you're right, Rick.
Bite him right in the ankles, Ray.
Guy's got like a foot and a half on me. What do you want me to do?
Doesn't matter. You're tough.
Yeah, if we send you after him and you both get tossed, that's a win for us.
It's a good trade.
That'd be a great. Not that we don't value what you bring to the table, but I think it'll be a good trade for us.
Raymond, you play 5 minutes in that game four, and get Joel Embiid kicked out, and you go with him. You're the MVP of the game.
Tibbs isn't about that though.
You get a game ball.
He's not about it.
No, he's not. He wouldn't want that.
He respects the game too much.
And you know what? Maybe Nick Nurse wouldn't see it though.
That's a good point.
You go out there, you pull semantics. Nick Nurse, what do you think? I didn't see it. I don't know.
Didn't see it. Didn't call timeout. You make valid points.
Again, Joel Embiid is a punk. That's it. Great player who's a punk.
Damn good at basketball, though.
Great at basketball. No one ever said differently, did they?
No.
Okay. All right, let's leave it at that.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.